Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, on today's edition of the program, we're going to wrap up Romans 10 and get a little bit into Romans chapter 11, but we're going to begin by praying today and praying for our nation. Alex McFarland here along with Jeff Shambly. And Jeff, we appreciate you so much. Bert is traveling. Bert will be back tomorrow. Yeah. But when Bert or I are out, Jeff, you are so faithful to fill in with us, and we certainly do appreciate it, brother.
Well, it's a privilege. Thank you, Alex.
Yes, I appreciate your insights about Romans as well. By the way, we had a lot of good callers yesterday. We had so many callers, we actually couldn't get to everybody. But later on in the program, we will open up the phones and take your Bible questions, as we always do. But at least once a week, in the last several weeks, Bert and I have pulled away to pray for America. And there's a lot going on, as you know. There have been some shootings, and there's a lot in the news. Of course, we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for Israel. But the main thing that I want to pray about today is this election coming up. And let me just be very clear. Obviously, our trust is in the Lord. We're not relying on human beings for all the things that our country needs. But leaders that we elect make decisions. They appoint judges. They champion legislation. And frankly, from a human standpoint, Jeff, I really believe this is a critical election. I mean, so much with decades-long implications, so much is hanging in the balance, really. I just encourage everybody to pray for our country. Please be registered. Please be informed, and please vote. I know one of the ministries that AFA partners with is iVoterGuide.com, and I know the people there. It's a wonderful organization. I know iVoterGuide is really, I think, part of the AFA umbrella really right now. And so Google that and be informed on these issues, because not only as a Christian but as a citizen, I mean, there are just a lot of things that are up for grabs, and we do need to pray for this election, don't we, Jeff?
We do. We do. And just on that that theme, Todd Starnes is reporting that 25 million Christians who are registered to vote do not vote in presidential elections. 65 million Christians don't vote in local elections, and 15 million are not registered. So those are just some numbers to throw out there. And I would just add that, you know, God has given us a great responsibility as citizens in this particular country, because as you have said, as Bill Federer has said so many times, in this nation, under our form of government, we are the government. The people, people is the government. So, you know, we have a responsibility to make this government work. And I just pray that people will realize that.
Exactly. So I want us to pray. And folks, please be registered to vote and vote. I know it takes effort, but my goodness, I guess our freedoms and religious freedom and just moral legislation, this is worth inconveniencing ourselves over. I'm just going to say this. We're going to pray. You say, well, voting, it takes effort. It's not convenient. I bet dying at Valley Forge wasn't convenient either. You know, one of the ways that the British tracked Washington's Continental Army, it was that the blood on the snow where their feet froze. I'm serious. This is part of our history. These people gave their life. Do you know that the founders, Jefferson, Madison, all of them, they wrote, that we have pledged our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. And one of the things that Jefferson wrote in the Declaration, he said, appealing to God for the rectitude of our intentions. In other words, in declaring our independence, in building this Judeo-Christian nation, they said, if we don't do this, we'll answer to God. And in a similar way, I think the stewardship of our vote is like that, that we're accountable to God. So let's pray. Jeff, if I start, will you conclude?
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Let's join together in prayer, everybody. Father God, we bow and we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And through Jesus Christ, Lord, we know that our ultimate citizenship is in heaven, and we thank you for that. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can know by having put our faith in you that we are citizens of your kingdom and bound for heaven, and we give you the glory for that. But Lord, down here, we do care about this nation, and like Augustine said, that until we are in the city of God, we have an obligation to the city of man. So, Lord, we come before you, and we pray for our nation. And, Lord, I know we are so blessed, and really, we don't deserve your favor, but, Lord, we need it. Yes. And Lord, I think about the life of the unborn. I think about morality. I think about securing our borders. I think about the safety and the well-being of tax-paying citizens. I think about the rule of law, that in so many quarters, law and civility is just forgotten and suppressed. And Lord, your word tells a lot about unjust leaders that exploit citizens. And Lord, then, of course, there is our relationship with the nation of Israel. And Lord Jesus, two different platforms are before us. One, as far as we believe, is very constitutional and moral. Another candidacy, I believe, is very unjust. Terrorism and the rights of citizens and the rights of parents and even things like gender, so many things are up for grabs. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to please intervene. And, Lord, our trust is not in human beings. Our trust is in you. And, Lord, I'm asking you to please help our nation. Send a great revival. We know that is the ultimate answer, that if people would find Jesus Christ and if the church would be strong and if pulpits would proclaim your word and if Christians would be engaged to be the salt and the light in the culture as you've called us to be, and if 100 to 120 million born-again adults would influence people and cast godly votes, we would have no worries about the future of our country. But Lord Jesus, we just lay ourselves before you and our nation. And Father God, if it pleases you, would you intervene and preserve our Judeo-Christian constitutional republic? And please amaze us. And one last thing, Lord, I would ask that you would overrule and suppress any attempts at dishonesty.
Yes.
Lord, voter fraud, cheating. Lord, only you can prevent that. We don't have the wisdom or the ability to intervene. So, Lord, you know all things, and you see all things. So in this upcoming election, Lord, please, thy will be done. We commit our nation to you. We ask for your help. And, Lord, if you give us a free America, Lord, we promise with your help and for your glory that we will preach the gospel, mm-hmm. we will serve you, we will stand for the family, for truth, for your word. Please, God, give us a free, safe America so that we could serve you and be a part of your great commission. We commit our nation to you, and we ask that your hand be very much involved in all that goes on, and we ask it in Jesus' name.
Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to join together, not only Alex and myself, but Lord, those who are listening right now to join our hearts in seeking your face and approaching your throne, asking you for these things. Lord, we thank you for our nation that we love so much. We thank you for those who've gone before us, who've established laws that are just and right. Lord, this is a very sinful nation. It always has been. But God, you've had a special grace upon this land in that yes. the gospel has been free to be proclaimed and people have been saved and this nation has sent out missionaries. God, you have been so, so gracious to us. And Lord, you have withheld your hand of judgment in what we deserve. And God, we thank you for that. But Lord, in this brief window of time that we have to be effective and to be salt and light, Lord, before you come, would you again stir your people? Would you stir your church? Lord, would you put fire in the hearts of your ministers as they fill the pulpits, that they would preach the gospel with conviction and purity and sincerity? Lord, empowered by your Spirit, that there would be a great awakening and that the hearts of your people, Lord, would be for righteousness and for justice and for truth and for honesty and integrity. Lord, may it happen first in your people. Lord, we do pray for this election. We pray that you would protect those that are running for office. Lord, especially President Trump, as those who hate him so much, Lord, would do anything to destroy his life. We pray that you would put a special protection around him and his family. Lord, we do pray for President Biden and for Vice President Harris and all of those who lead over us. Lord, you've told us to pray for those in authority, and we do that. We ask that you would open their hearts and minds to the truth, that you would help them to be attentive to the voices that they hear, Lord, that would speak truth, that the blindness would fall off of their hearts, that they would come to you in humility. Lord, we pray for the nation of Israel in this crucial time, Lord, as she is under attack from so many different nations and surrounded by those that hate her. Lord, I pray that you would give Prime Minister Netanyahu the wisdom that he needs, those that fight, those who are in the military and their families, Lord, that you would preserve their lives and that, Lord, you would bring the light of Christ to that land. Lord, the peace of Jerusalem, that you would bring salvation to your people, your elect among the Jews that we will even talk about today. And Lord, not only them, but in Syria and in Gaza and in Iran and other places where the church is active, I pray that there would be a great harvest. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity. We love you and thank you that Christ has given us the ability to come to you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Jeff, on that note, I might have mentioned it yesterday, but I was on a pretty classified webinar yesterday with Israel, and we heard from a general that literally was in northern Israel at the front lines. And you know what's just very sad, is very wicked that the terrorists have missile launchers that they've put in people's homes.
Yeah, isn't that
and
crazy?
To maximize, this is so wicked, to maximize civilian casualties. Isn't that sad?
It's hard to even imagine people thinking like that. But that's the kind of evil that we're facing in the world.
Yeah.
And I'll just pivot off of that, Alex. We've got to have strong leadership in this world. Last night, I enjoyed the movie Reagan with my wife and son. And, you know, I was a young man. He was the first president that I voted for when I was 18.
Same here.
So it brought back a lot seeing that movie. And I was just reminded of the character of a strong leader. He wasn't a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination, but he did have the ability to lead in a very strong and effective way. And that's so important. I think Israel has that right now in the prime minister that they have.
Yeah.
But that's so important. And, you know, may God give us the grace to have that. Again,
you know, it was 1984, the first election that I was ever old enough to vote in. And I wasn't even a believer yet. I mean, I knew about God, but I wasn't born again yet. Mm-hmm. And I remember my college professors hated Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And I voted for Reagan.
Yeah.
hey, we've got a brief break. Jeff Shambly and Alex McFarland here. Turn to Romans 10. After this brief break, we're going to get into God's Word. But we just felt like it was very important to pray for America in this first segment. And we're glad you're listening, folks. We're honored that you're with us. Stay tuned. After this brief break, Romans 10.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
He is right here where he's always been. He never left and he never will. Where is God? God is with us.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jeff Shambly and with Alex McFarland. And if you are just joining us, we are in Romans chapter 10. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. A great conversation of, in this section of Romans, what is the condition of Israel at the time that Paul is writing, and why haven't they believed, and what is God going to do with them? So exciting a passage ahead of us, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Yesterday, we kind of concluded with verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we were talking about the necessity that people overtly, explicitly hear the gospel. You have to hear about Jesus to be saved. And how can people believe if they've not heard? Now, verse 18, let me read these 18 through 21. Paul says this, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Now he's going to quote Psalm 19:4. Their sound went out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying or contrary people. Jeff, here's the thing, like Psalm 19 that Paul references, that says, you know, the heavens and earth bear witness to the glory of God, day unto day uttereth speech. People know about God, and I think people are cognizant of their accountability to God and their guilt before God. Every now and then we'll have people ask a question, you know, what about people who don't know? Aren't they innocent? Actually, no. People are guilty. We are guilty sinners because awareness of God, the law of God is written on all hearts. And but here's the thing that I think Paul is referencing about the jealousy of Israel, that Gentiles that were not entrusted with the oracles of God, maybe weren't even seeking, but they have been shown the gospel in many a case and have believed in many a case. And the idea that the the dogs, the profane Gentiles, could get saved and know the true and living God. I think that was really a surprise to many of the Jews of Paul's day.
Yeah, you can imagine a Jew is not able to even eat a meal with a Gentile, yet you're telling them that God now is going to bring his salvation to these people and is going to harden our hearts or cast us into blindness temporarily. Well, that's what's going on here, and this is nothing that hasn't happened in Israel's history before, because he quotes David and he quotes Moses and Isaiah. So even back in the Old Testament, the people were hardened, even though they had all of this religious activity. You know, it meant nothing because they were idolaters at the same time. And so they had the word of God, but they didn't believe it. They didn't, you know, but they were still accountable for it. And Alex, it reminds me of the number of people who have a Bible who would say, I believe the Bible, but they don't know what's in it.
Right.
You know, and the people that are filling our churches who have a type of religion, but there's no true belief. You know, verse 16 says they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed? There's a connection between belief and obedience, so much so that you could even say that they're synonymous. To believe the gospel is to obey the gospel.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
To disobey is to have unbelief. And so we have this idea that, you know, belief is something that's just intellectual. You know, I'll tip my hat to the truths of the gospel in terms of its facts. But no, unless you have, with your volition, if you have not embraced what Jesus has done, you really are not believed.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we've said this many times. There's a difference between being a convert or being a disciple, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus invites us to become his disciple. Now, what does that mean? A disciple is a consistent, learning, obedient follower, you know? And salvation, folks, there is, as I'm sure most people have heard, the sinner's prayer, which basically you admit your sin and your guilt, and you confess Christ, and you ask him to save you. And I've led many, many people in that prayer of salvation. People ask, is the sinner's prayer biblical? Well, yeah. I mean, it says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but I want to be very clear. It's not just reciting a paragraph of words.
Yeah.
Because Jesus says that we're to become his disciple, and there's a verse, Luke 6:46, where Christ asked this question. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? And that's what, Jeff, I love what you said. If you know, belief and obedience are nearly synonymous. If you don't obey Jesus and you might have recited prayer, but if your life hasn't changed one stitch, you're not a disciple.
Yeah, and Alex, I think that's a message that I've heard more of that message being preached, say, in the last 15 or 20 years than I've heard growing up. And you know, I'm 61, and so I'll say, look, they probably preached it. I just wasn't listening. But it seems like I'm hearing more from the pulpits, at least in the churches that I go to, of the importance of obedience. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's more common today.
Let me digress for just a moment. Shortly after 9/11, I was on Salem Radio debating an imam from Atlanta. And I'm a Christian. This guy was a Muslim. We were talking, and we were debating Christianity versus Islam on the Salem Radio Network. And there is a thing, now listen to this, folks, in Islam called the Shahada. Now, I'm not going to even say it because I don't want to say an Arabic falsehood on this blessed Christian network. But the way that one becomes a Muslim is to recite this certain phrase and to submit. And so I don't know why, but in the context of debating this imam, I asked him, I said, so reciting this phrase makes one a Muslim. He said, that's right. And I asked him, I said, do you have to believe it or mean it or be sincere? And he thought, and he said, no.
Wow.
But by reciting it, you have submitted. And I was like, oh, really? So by reciting this particular phrase, it's called the Shahada, I just became a Muslim, right? He said, yes. And so I said into the microphone, I said, well, for the record, people, no, I do not believe it, and I'm not a Muslim. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a Christian. But in a way, we've got our own little evangelical shahada. I mean, I meet people across America. Do you go to church? No. Are you a follower of Jesus? Well, not like I should be. Are you true to your spouse? You know, well, how do you know you're a Christian then? And they'll say, well, 25 years ago at summer camp, I prayed the sinner's prayer.
Yeah.
But if your life didn't change, you might have recited some sort of prayer. But a born-again Christian, well, John 10:14, Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. Why am I belaboring this point? Because look, if you become a Christian, you take up the cross and you follow Christ. And I'm not. This is not works salvation I'm talking about. But Jeff, I guess I'm saying if a person is truly converted, born again, regenerated, your life is going to change. And let me just say this too. Your life must, and your beliefs, your priorities have to line up with God's word. And if you have truly met the Son of God, I think your life is going to change in relation to the Word of God. Yes. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I heard a pastor describe, you know, the process of, you know, knowing whether or not you are a believer. And one of the indications he gave was that there is a increase in your desire for God and the things of God. He says it may be a small increase, but you're moving that direction. It may be small steps and not large leaps, but there is a consistent progress toward godliness. And I think that's what we need to be looking for. And of course, if you're looking for a book to read on that, 1 John is an excellent book to read to really kind of measure out where am I with the Lord and what's in my life that gives me that assurance. So,
amen.
Yeah, important thing to talk about.
I want to give two verses, and I want us to wrap up Romans 10. But here's the thing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves and see if ye be in the faith. You know? Now, 2 Peter 1, verse 10, and I've taught 1 and 2 Peter. I love those books. But here's what Peter says. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Isn't that something?
Yeah, be diligent. Diligent.
Yeah. And so I'm going to say this, and we're just being as personal and forthright as we can be, folks. I've counseled people that they say they're a Christian, but they're pro-gay marriage or pro-abortion, pro-choice, not pro-life, or they, you know, fill in the blank. And I'm like, look, if you're a Christian— your beliefs, your convictions should line up with God's word. And how can a truly born-again Christian affirm and support things that the Bible prohibits? And a person regarding homosexuality and transgenderism, this person, he said, well, that's just what I believe. And I said, well, then number one, you've got to ameliorate your beliefs with what God says. And God's word is clear. And all of these issues, whether it be creation versus evolution, or morality, or marriage, or the sacredness of human life, or support for Israel, things like tithing, even our language, you know, the Bible talks about the mouth, the tongue can be a pen of poison, you know. We are, like you say, I love what you said, Jeff, it might be baby steps and incremental, but we need to be trending in the direction towards God and His Word.
Hey, amen, Alex. I think that's so important today. And, you know, the Spirit of God is in every believer. Every true believer has the Spirit of God in them. And the Spirit will give you those desires to obey the Word. And friends, I would just say, look, you've got to be in the Scriptures. You've got to be in the Word. And every morning, every day, you will notice that growth and that development if you will allow the Word of God to get into your heart. That'll happen.
Amen. Amen. Chapter 11, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, Paul says. For I also am an Israelite, And Paul kind of lays out a little bit of his pedigree here, and it's beautiful. I also am an Israelite of the seed of Benjamin of the tribe of, I'm sorry, the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? He maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him, unto Elijah? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Okay, yeah. Paul is saying that there are true believers who have believed the gospel, who've received Yeshua, Mashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And, you know, it's interesting that he is going to, for one thing, in Romans 11, reconcile the fact that salvation has come to the Gentiles, and the unbelief of some Israelites does not nullify neither the reality of the gospel or the covenant promises yes. of God to Israel.
Yeah, that's great. And I think we're getting into a subject here that we need to spend some time on, and that's the idea of replacement theology and supersessionism, because part of the attitude toward Israel that we see today is reflected on a theological position that the church has replaced Israel. And I get into that because of verse 1. Has God cast away his people? Certainly not. That phrase, certainly not, is the strongest form of Greek negation that you can have
yes.
in the language, and it's used 14 times by Paul in the New Testament. So the idea, look, has God cast away his people? Who are his people that he's talking about? They are national Israel. They are the Jews. And Paul's answer is certainly not. And the first example he gives is himself. And he says, yeah, I am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham. So, no, God is not. There is an elect that are coming to faith in Christ. Paul is a leading example of that. And he casts himself up there. He says, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. And then, of course, the object Amen. Of Elijah. So there is a remnant of believers. And Alex, I believe among the Jews, there is a remnant that God is going to bring to faith in Christ. And I'm looking for that, you know, as we hear about the gospel going forth.
Amen. Well, you know, I'm getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but in Romans 11:29, Paul says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, irrevocable. Hey, truth is still truth, even if nobody believes it, and error is still error, even if everybody believed it. I love what you said about the emphatic way, and you're right there in verse 1, God forbid. In other words, certainly not. Mm-hmm. That was a Greek has some very emphatic ways of rendering things. Like when Jesus, you know, in Mark 14, they said, we demand, tell us, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am. And when yeah. Christ was before Pilate, he says, you know, are you the Son of God? And Jesus says, thou sayest. And that was ego in me. In other words, yeah. you got that right. very emphatic.
Yeah.
So Paul is emphatic that the calling and covenant promises of God are absolutely in effect.
Well, that is a big topic, and hopefully we'll spend some more time on that tomorrow as we get into the Word. But we want to give the phone number for you. It's 888-589-8840. We want to hear from you, 888-589-8840. Be back in a moment.
How will you decide which candidates deserve your vote on November the 5th? Not just for president, but for all the other races down the ballot that are more important than you might think and impact your family more directly. TV ads and candidate rhetoric are meant to sway your emotions. iVoterGuide gives you the facts so you can think for yourself. iVoterGuide shows you what candidates have done and how they are likely to vote if elected. Election Day is Tuesday, November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Twice a year, American Family Radio opens the phone lines to ask for listener support in our effort to promote godly values. We call it Share-a-thon. And it's also your chance to tell us your AFR story.
I was headed to work one morning and just happened upon the radio station, and I honestly don't think that my station has changed since then.
If God has used AFR in your life, we'd love to hear you tell us about it.
I've been a big help in keeping my mind straight. and I'm walking with the Lord. Thank y'all very much.
Your story can be an encouragement to our radio staff and to other listeners as well.
AFR has helped me out a lot. It helps me to keep in touch with the Lord. It's a good reminder that God loves us.
Call us at 877-876-8893 and give us a one-minute voicemail telling us your AFR story. That's 877-876-8893. And then listen for your voice during Share-a-thon, October 8th, 9th, and 10th on American Family Radio.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word.
Amen. Just welcome back to Exploring the Word. I've always loved that song, Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And we do, and we hope you do as well. Hey, the number is 888-589-8840. If you've got a Bible question, toll free nationwide, we would be so honored to hear from you. And Jeff Chamblee and I will do our best to give you a biblical answer to your question. 888-589-8840. Jeff, where shall we go first?
Let's go first to the great state of Texas. Jordan, you are on the air. Hi, welcome. Jordan, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Oh,
go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you guys over the music in the background.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Well, my question is, I'm plodding through 1 Samuel right now. The thing that I've taken away from that is that regardless of the love and responsibility and life that God gives us, we don't want any of it. And so throughout history, man continues to reject personal responsibility and seeks a king. And that's what I seem to be taking from Samuel. And so how do we approach a people that does they don't want personal responsibility. They've tossed it aside, and they simply want a king instead of a true leader.
Yeah. Mm. Good question, Jordan. Thank you.
This is good. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 8. It's interesting. I'm going to apply this to the church, although, like Jeff said earlier, we don't believe in replacement theology. The church is the church, and Israel is Israel. But, the Bible also says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, God, in 1 Samuel 8:20, they said that we want to be like other nations, 1 Samuel 8:20, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Israel was different. They were God's covenant nation through whom the Lord would send Jesus, the Messiah. Jeff, isn't it true that from a human perspective, we so often want to do it physically, not spiritually? Man's way, not God's way. God was the king of Israel, and they wanted, kings. They wanted to be like other nations. I've always felt like that was a very sad passage where they were saying to God, being under King Yahweh, that's not what we want. We want human kings. It was a rejection of God's best for them, and I thought that was very sad.
Yeah, and Samuel was hurt by their statement, and God told him, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. And I think there's a little bit of that any time that we want to be like the world, that we start envying people around us who are following the ways of the world. And we like the way that looks and feels, and we want to be like that. And I can't help but to think that the Lord is grieved when we choose some of the things of the world rather than the good things that He's given us, as Jordan said. Well, let's give the phone number once again. It's 888-589-8840. We're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. Next up, let's go to Troy in Louisiana. Troy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, yes, I'm there.
Yeah, you're on. We can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, I have two questions. My first question is Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus says, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there go in at. Enter in at the straight gate, for narrow is that gate, for a few go in that leads to life, eternal life." So in other words, Jesus is saying the majority of mankind is going to hell and a few are going to heaven. Am I right?
Probably. In fact, you know, by the way, this is kind of the near the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the parable of the soils. Some have wondered, you know, because there were four types of soil and only in one did the seeds sprout and the plant grow. Some have wondered if only 25% of the human race will accept salvation and be born again. I mean, only God knows. But based on this, I do think that of those that reach the age of accountability, the majority are going to reject truth and be lost. Now, I know, Jeff, I believe that all of the babies that have died, miscarried, they're going to be with Jesus. So Norm Geisler, he was a great Christian thinker, in fact, brilliant. He had a way that he laid it out that he felt like the majority of the human race, he says there's going to be more in heaven than hell. That's what he basically was saying.
Okay.
But he felt like there would be more in heaven than in hell. But I'm not so sure, but here's the point, the definitive takeaway. There's only one person whose heart and soul and salvation we can speak definitively on, and that's our own.
Yeah.
You know? But, you, Troy, you had a second question. What was that, my friend?
Yes, my second question was, early at the beginning of the show, you prayed, am I right?
We did.
Yeah. And you said, God bless America or bless this nation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't, it, when people pray, and I see that on signs, billboards, churches, what have you, or religious stations, they're always saying, God bless America. Why not just say, God bless this whole earth, everybody that's on this earth in every country?
Yeah.
We're all mm-hmm. children of God.
Well, you know, let me say, when we pray for God to have mercy on America and to bless America, it doesn't necessarily follow that we're not also, you know, at other times praying for other nations. Of course, we want, like Habakkuk, the knowledge of the Lord to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But, you know, there was a poem years ago, "Breathes there a man with a soul so dead that he never within himself has said, this is my own, my native land." So, yeah, I think it's only natural to pray for God to bless America. That doesn't necessarily exclude that we desire God's will and God's blessing to come to other nations. But, hey, yeah. Nothing wrong with being patriotic, and I'm proudly patriotic, and you can bet I'm praying for God to bless America.
Thank you, Troy, for calling in today. Let's go next to the state of Iowa. Barry, welcome to Exploring the Word. You're on the air.
Thank you. I got a question. I've been witnessing to a guy at work, and he's not a believer. But today, praise God that he asked for a Bible and then was also a Bible for his teenager. And I was thinking, I have a John MacArthur study Bible. I don't know if that's too deep or and I didn't know if that'd be good for a teenager. One would be good for both of them or what?
Wow. God bless you for being a witness.
Yeah.
And, hey, you know what? Isaiah 55 tells us God's word does not return void. And a John MacArthur study Bible would be an awesome gift to give somebody that you're praying for to come to truth. By the way, the teenagers, we believe in this Truth for Youth Bible. Tim Todd and Revival Fires Ministries I don't know if we have some of those, but I bet you probably could get one if you Google the Truth for Youth Bible. Jeff, would we have any of those around?
I bet you we could get our hands on some if we want to get the address for our caller and send one of those. So I'll let our guys think about that. But Barry, I'll say this. In terms of the John MacArthur Study Bible, I've given five of those to my children. And so, yeah, they're suitable for teenagers. They're a great item to give there. I think they're taking Barry offline to get his address. But great question. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to Kirk, who's calling in Mississippi. Hi, Kirk. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. I really enjoy your program. I listen to it almost every day coming home from work. But doesn't Galatians, I believe it's 3:29, state that all believers are part of the seed of Abraham?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, really, it does. And it also talks about in Galatians 6:16, quote, the Israel of God. So believe it or not, if you're a born-again believer, you are of the seed of Abraham, and in a spiritual sense, at least, you're an Israelite.
Yeah, the seed of Abraham is used in different ways in Scripture, and sometimes it refers to natural Israel. Ultimately, it refers to Jesus Christ. I mean, he is the one that Paul holds up as the ultimate seed of Abraham. But as we've read today in the book of Romans, Paul refers to himself as being of the seed of Abraham. So, you know, we are grafted in as Gentiles to that root of the covenant that God had made with Abraham, so that we are partakers in the covenants of blessings through Christ. But yeah, in that sense, every believer, every true believer is the seed of Abraham. There's an old song, Father Abraham, that we used to sing growing mm-hmm. up that talked about that. Good question, yep. Kirk. Let's go to Texas once again and welcome Janice to the program. Hi, Janice. You're on Exploring the Word.
Hello. I would like to ask your opinion on something. I have a desire to put a political sign in my yard, voting for former President Trump. My grown children disagree with me. I would like to hear what you say.
Well, I'm a guy that's got a Trump sign out there, I'll just tell you. So anyway, I'm proud of your boldness, and
yeah.
I mean, don't burn any bridges with your children, but if you feel led to do it, you ought to do it.
Yeah, I don't want to get in a family argument, but I would say, who owns the yard? That would be my question. Who owns the yard? That should solve it. So good question, Janice. Thanks for calling in. The number, once again, is 888-589-8840. We have some lines available, 888-589-8840. Whether they're yard signs or Bible verses, we'll take those questions. Let's go to Scott in Mississippi. Hi, Scott. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon to the two of my weekend warriors. I greatly enjoy the programming on the weekends that you guys offer, and it was super great to hear Alex with his wife Angie on this past weekend. That was awesome to get to hear his much better half alongside him. And the Stand is always a great program. I always awesome. Look forward to that. And if I don't catch it Saturday, I know I can catch it Sunday sometime during the day. So both you guys keep up the great work. I know y'all get lauded for your weekend, your weekday stuff, but your weekend stuff is just as rich, and I really appreciate that. God Bless America song. I think the founding fathers would have penned those words. I think it would have been America Bless God before it would have been God Bless America. And the need for repentance in our nation today being really the only answer we have, the only hope for restoration of our nation, once great nation. And I don't really agree at all with the home sweet home part. It's been a home for me all my life, but it's not my home sweet home. And the Bible question I had today was a reconciliation of the Ichabod, the departure of God's glory in the Old Testament. How we'd reconcile that with His promise to in the New Testament to never leave us nor forsake us, to be with us to the end of the age. How do we get our humanity, human minds around that? Because I really feel like there could be a time when God really would remove his hedge of protection and his glory from our nation and from the world at some point, you know, and let it have its run and see what the devil is going to do with it.
First Samuel 4:21 contains this phrase: "For there was a child born named Ichabod," and in the English it's translated, "The glory has departed." Literally, Ichabod in Hebrew means "Where is the glory?" You know, and Jeff, I think about the fact that the church in America is still very visible in that there are thousands of church buildings, but I would say that we need a revival. Now, we've covered how there are some campus revivals going on, but folks, we really need a revival. And that the word revival means a return to the things that bring life: prayer, individual obedience, intercession, evangelism. And we need the glory of God's presence to show back up in our own nation in every level.
Absolutely. And Scott, I would make a distinction between what happened in the Old Testament in the temple with what we see in the church today, because God's presence was withdrawn from the temple because of rebellion and idolatry and disobedience. But now that Christ has come, the presence of God indwells every believer through the Holy Spirit, so that presence will not be removed. So it's a completely different situation that we have. And so in that sense, no, God is not going to remove his presence, because the church is the body of Christ, and we are his dwelling place. But that great question. Great question.
Yeah. But and we are sealed, Ephesians 4:30. Yes. However, carnality and backsliddenness and sin and disobedience can cloud God's presence and obstruct. But you're right, the Spirit of God is in the true church. But let's just make sure that the Holy Spirit is leading us in our words and actions.
Amen.
Well, Jeff Shambly, thank you so much. And listeners, we thank Brent Austin and the staff for engineering the show. And folks, we appreciate you listening. We give God the glory for the American Family Radio Network and the American Family Association. And we encourage you to tell somebody about exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.